Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In the last hour and a half or so, the President of the United States was awarded the inaugural FIFA Peace Prize. The applause in the background. Major, can you tell me who finished second to Donald Trump? just wondering.
There was only one name on the ballot.
One name. Apparently one name on the ballot.
And Chad, because you and I are gentlemen of a certain age.
Yeah.
I certainly do, remember the Mel Brooks classic Silent Movie.
Of course, yes.
And in that movie, there is a depiction of a corporation called Engulf and Devour. And its slogan was, "Our fingers are in everything."
Yes.
And if you go back and do any sort of video capture of Engulf and Devour, its corporate symbol was hands fingering a globe.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot what this trophy looks like.
Look at it, Dave. It's right there. It's
beautiful.
It's a very strange looking trophy, man.
It's ugly.
It is not.
It is the ugliest trophy I've ever.
It is ugly. Let's be honest, too. Like, in our town, we have a number of statues after a lot of our famous athletes. And Dave will back this up. Almost every one of these depictions is awful. Just not close at all, David.
In any town in America or around the world, you get about 2 out of 100 that you look at and say, that's pretty good.
But like,
the rest are rotten.
You look at our great monuments in D.C., you know, and you think,
we can build an obelisk.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do we have any statues of athletes around D.C.? Like outside the old Cap Center or whatever?
No. There's nothing outside of, now named, Capital One Arena.
Right.
There is nothing outside of Nats Park or that I'm aware of. It's been a long time. It's been a very, very long time since I've been to the Commander Stadium. I'm not even sure what it's called now.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. There's not a lot of athlete statues here.
We got a Donnybrook. I mean, this Sunday, you're Commanders, because you're a big Commanders guy. I mean, when I think of Commanders, here's my order. Joe Theismann, John Riggins saying, loosen up, Sandy Baby, to Justice O'Connor, and Major Garrett, kind of, you know, with the burgundy and gold.
No. Could care less. Could care less. Always could. The team formerly known as the Redskins, now currently known as the Commanders, never, ever, ever on my radar screen. Because when I came to Washington, I noticed that a lot of people, to ingratiate themselves and to social climb, would abandon whatever team they had when they came to Washington and embrace the Redskins so they could go to all the parties and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And I immediately said to myself, forget it. I'm not doing that. I don't care. And I never will.
When is the last hobnob D.C. party you attended?
Well, I don't go to parties that are outside of the big obligatory events, like the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Because I work for CBS, I'll be at the Kennedy Center Honors this Sunday. Those are big gatherings and the like. Those sort of marquee, can't-miss events that fall into the category of professional obligation I attend. The rest of it I skip.
Do you have, typically, does CBS have a holiday party?
Hasn't for years.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are consistently the, meaning the disappearance of holiday parties is consistent with the nosedive commercially of legacy media.
Yeah, no, it's fair. We're going to get to the news. I want to ask you just one example here. So we, for a second straight year, are going to have a holiday party just down the street at the Laudatory Minneapolis Club. Okay, very fancy place. My gal, about 2-3 months ago, purchased a dress specifically for the party. I forgot about the holiday party, and then 2 weeks ago I scheduled a golf trip right when the holiday party is taking place. Okay, so what is your advice? Should I keep on the golf trip, or should I cancel and go to said Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa party?
Chad, listen to me carefully.
Yeah.
Cancel the golf trip.
You are not familiar with my game. I am going to golf. Come on.
I'm familiar with your game. It's a great game. I've said that many times.
No, I'm not talking about my golf game. I'm talking my selfish game. No, I'm going to play. Dave, you're with
me. No, don't do that.
Dave?
Don't do that.
She can wear.
You play golf all the time.
She can wear.
Your special lady knows that you play golf all the time.
Oh, she's well aware. Yeah.
Make sure this particular time, which she has made special for herself, as a reflection of you to go out and get a special outfit, you acknowledge that and not only symbolically, but literally embrace it. Do not make the mistake of ignoring her gesture and what it means to her in relationship to you. Do not make that mistake.
I'm going to send her a picture of me having a margarita Saturday night after the round.
You're not going.
And she can wear the dress, right?
You're not going.
Dave. Where am I going next week?
Oh, you're golfing.
I'm golfing.
Yeah, it's disgusting behavior. She can still come to the party.
I've told her that. And by the way, Michelle is incredibly social. Incredibly. And, you know, I might have turned, 1,000 this year and had a birthday party. And she knew, 60%. We didn't talk the first 2 hours because she was such a social butterfly. She's fine. She can go on her own. Look at Major.
You'll regret it.
Yeah. All right, let's pause. Oh, by the way, you can text me right now, 651-461-9226.
I'm on record. You will regret this.
Would you cancel your golf trip for the holiday party? Would you cancel your golf trip? Wasn't good planning by me that I pulled this off.
That's the problem. I wouldn't have scheduled it in the first place.
I was forced to. Somebody forced me to go on the trip.
Oh, you poor thing. You had no other choice.
I no choice. I was required to go. All right,
you're a victim. You poor thing.
I am a victim. Help me. Help me. Hold my game sharp.
Hartman, perpetual victim.
That's it. You've nailed it. I'm going to talk Aquarius. We'll come back with Major and talk all the seriousness of D.C. Aquarius, great water. Need to get it on a regular basis. We don't drink enough water. So have the best at your house, the absolute best. That's from Aquarius Home Services, and it's the Connecticut drinking water system. I've had one since 1993. The company started in 1987. Had the water today. In fact, I brought it in because I'm so dubious of our water, and I spilled plenty of the water in the car. I was a victim again. Big Water was out to get me. Aquarius, great customer service, great follow-up. They'll also help you with the utility room if your furnace has any issues, the water softener, which you need for your dishes, for a good shower, for your laundry. Just good people. Check them out today. AquariusHomeServices.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to Pete Hegseth, because it's another week where his decision-making has been questioned at great length by many people, including guests on our show, guests on your show, the populist, greater information coming out on the boat, including some folks on select committees who saw the second strike with the two individuals clinging for their lives, and who, in the end, made that decision for the second strike. The Secretary of Defense, somehow trying to convince us, he walked out of the room, feeling like the video exonerates them. You'll hear a Democrat who says it's one of the worst things he's ever witnessed. A Republican say this is just what happens with war. Oh, by the way, is this a war? It has not been declared. Will Congress get involved? Then we had the IG report on Signal on a strike back months ago, where, of course, the Secretary of Defense didn't even sit down with the Inspector General for the Pentagon, but it was very damning and very critical of him. I lead up to all this by saying the president normally, if there's pushback on one of his appointees, gets even more loyal, is more convinced he's my guy. What is the scenario, do you believe, where Trump would say enough is enough with Pete Hegseth?
That's a great question. I don't know if I have an answer to that. These episodes that we have just discussed and you very succinctly summarized don't qualify. If there was something that was that fell into the category of being either symbolically or literally asleep at the switch, missing something, or some sort of antic with the troops that was overly casual or too informal or exploitive, that might qualify, but I really can't, at this current juncture of the Trump presidency, see very much that would force the president's hand, even getting pressure from Republican senators, because Trump will look at him all and say, you confirmed him, so get out of my face. I told you to confirm him, you did, so end of discussion. I'm satisfied, so back off. I mean, I really just don't see anything, any current scenario or set of actions or inactions that he could take that could get him ousted, because he is a fierce loyalist to Trump and carries out much of his policy with a kind of aggressiveness and disdain for the entire Washington establishment that Trump really likes.
Let's go to the just continued talks, which I applaud the administration for trying to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. Witkoff and Jared Kushner, who's just right in the middle of the administration again, meeting with Putin. Ukrainian authorities, I think, flying to Miami, right, to meet with Trump officials. And more reporting this week, Major. Excuse me, that European officials are just incredibly skeptical of Donald Trump and his seeming, for whatever reason, allegiance to Putin and not to Zelensky, and their communications with Zelensky, their communications amongst themselves, and what leverage they would potentially use against the United States if Trump goes too far, that part of the story, okay, Europe's role, and just, again, here's another scenario. Unless Putin gets precisely everything he wants, is he ever going to agree to anything?
Probably not. There are no indications that unless he gets everything he wants, he's going to agree. Betting that in the end, if the United States backs away, the Europeans will back away. And there's a very interesting and I think highly important conversation going on in European capitals about, well, there are these Russian assets we've seized. We can use them as a bridge loan to the Ukrainians to keep them alive for probably 2 years economically and militarily, meaning use that money, frozen Russian assets currently in Brussels in Belgium, as a way to finance a continued effort to try to repel or eject the Russians from Ukraine, even without United States wherewithal. And the Europeans would basically say, this is our conflict, and we are going to treat it as such. Whether the United States is involved or not is no longer the preeminent concern that we have. The preeminent concern we have is if this is viewed by Putin as a loss for Ukraine and a capitulation by Europe, then we're all much more in jeopardy than we currently are. So we're going to invest in backing the Ukrainians to try to forge a better peace outcome by forcing Putin a year or 2 years from now to sue for peace in ways he is not willing to do now. That's an interesting conversation. Hasn't been resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why do I say it's interesting? Because according to the most recent reporting, Trump officials were saying, don't go down that road. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Why not? Because they want a quick deal with Putin. Why? Why do you want a quick deal with Putin? Look, you've said all along, the Europeans need to step up. If they are prepared to step up, and it's not been resolved that they are, by the way, and I want to underscore that point. It's not clear that they're going to do this.
Right.
But if they do it, and they're willing to do it, why not let them? If they consider it of such grave risk to have a peace deal now as opposed to 2 years from now, even though that will mean more bloodshed, more heartache, more depletion of resources in Russia and Ukraine, more infrastructure decimation, and more unpredictable results because Ukraine is making it clear it can find ways to strike things that are Russian that are not inside Ukraine, that are in the Black Sea, that are in parts of the Russian interior. This would all be an unpredictable scenario. But the Europeans appear to be on the verge of putting more of their chips geopolitically and financially on the table. Why the United States would try to deter them from that, I can't quite figure out.
Let's talk affordability. There was a point this week where the president, during one of his numerous media briefings, he does not hide from the media by any means.
Nope.
Where he started right away, affordability is just a scam. It's a con job.
Right.
By the Democrats.
No one knows what it means.
Yeah. Nobody has any concept of affordability. It's kind of like what he would tell
us. I'm just quoting the president. Nobody knows what it means.
This quaint term that has popped up recently, groceries. You know, Dave and I used to chuckle about that one. Yeah. Like nobody's heard of groceries. So, but then the last few days was in a lot of talk. You know, he's rolled back a lot of the fuel standards. Apparently, according to Sean Duffy, we're going to have the 1970s wagon popping up real soon. I know I can't thank God for that.
We all missed the faux wood paneled wagon.
Exactly. You know, put the kids way in the back. They just bounce around. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I grew up.
Yeah, I did too. It's dangerous. So now,
mental acuity to prove it.
Yes, we demonstrate that every Friday. So now I see that the president's going to go on an affordability economic tour because it is a major issue. And I get it. When he ran last year, he crushed both. He crushed Joe Biden on it. He crushed Kamala Harris on it. And now a poll I just saw today within Republicans, within Trump supporters, 46% are saying the economy is his. And it's his responsibility that prices are as high as they are. So he can do the song and dance, the scam. It's all Biden.
Yep.
But all of us know it's December. We're about a year in. And a lot of economic policies take a while. But just to say there's nothing there, no one believes that, including his own voters.
Exactly. Look, when they passed the so-called, they called it that, wrote it down legislatively as the title of the bill, the Big Beautiful Bill. That's when they began ownership of the economy. You pass your big piece of legislation, you're in charge. Now, Kevin Hassett, who could be the next chairman of the Federal Reserve, was on the takeout earlier this week, and I quoted what the Treasury Secretary said at the cabinet meeting this week. We're going to have 4% GDP growth for the entire year of 2026. And Kevin Hassett said, yeah, that's the hard and fast White House prediction. They are banking on all sorts of things filtering through the early part of next year with the tax bill, creating bigger refunds, more money in people's pockets, more job creation through foreign direct investment, factories, and the like. They're betting on all of that. Back to that same metaphor. They're putting all their political chips on the table that 2026 is going to be a very robust year for the economy. There, and there's reason for them to make that argument. I'm not saying that's a ludicrous argument. Those things are real. The tax cuts will kick in. There is lots of foreign direct investment. There are more factories being built. All that is true. But there are a couple of worrisome signs. First of all, groceries are not going down in price, but other things that people interact with and find particularly annoying, utility and insurance, are not going anywhere. And this administration has no plans to deal with either of those. They just don't. Because I don't care how much more natural gas you produce, you're not going to reduce electricity prices. And if you're going to claw back renewables, as they most aggressively are, you're going to make less supply, not more supply. So that's a problem. So they're not going to be able to really turn the dial on utility costs or insurance costs. So those are problems that annoy people and get under their skin. The last thing is we've lost a million jobs in the private sector this calendar year. Million jobs. Small businesses have been shedding jobs four of the last 6 months. These are very worrisome signs. And if you're embracing artificial intelligence, what this administration does every day and twice on Sunday, and AI is driving job losses, that compounds your political problems.
Exactly. Very quickly, you can have one cookie because yesterday was National Cookie Day. You can have one.
Oh, yeah. It was also National Sock Day, and I celebrated that on the takeout.
You're distinctive.
But every day is National Sock Day on the takeout.
You're distinctive with your socks. All right. Stop avoiding the question. National Cookie Day. One cookie.
That's easy. Oatmeal raisin.
Oh, my God. It's the worst cookie ever. My God.
It is not. It's a great cookie.
Oh, hang up on him. My God. This is the end of the Major Garrett experience ever on this show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.